reminded of all those who gave their lives for freedom. Most of the people who live on this planet are still not free. I ask only that you continue to work and pray to end oppression and political repression. It is my heartfelt belief that all the people on this earth deserve justice, social justice, political justice, and economic justice. I believe it is the only way we will ever achieve peace and prosperity on this earth. I hope that you enjoy your visit to Cuba. This is not a country that is rich in material wealth, but it is a country that is rich in human wealth, spiritual wealth, and moral wealth. Respectfully yours, Asada Shakur, Havana, Cuba.
That was Asada Shakur reading an open letter to the Pope in 1998. The Black liberation activist died on Thursday at the age of 78 in Cuba, where she had political asylum. That does it for our show. Happy birthday to Paul Powell. This coming weekend, I'll be speaking Saturday, October 4th, at the Roxy Theater in San Francisco, doing a Q&A after the Jewish Film Institute's special documentary screening of Steal the Story, Please, a new documentary about Democracy Now! Sunday, October 5th, I'll be in Berkeley at BAMFA for a screening of the documentary, again with the Oscar-nominated directors Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl. On Friday, October 17th, I'll be in Santa Fe at the Lenz Theater, and October 18th and 19th at the Woodstock Film Festival. Go to democracynow.org for details. I'm Amy Goodman.
Hi, I'm Michael Van Cleek. I'm tapped into the vibe and the rhythm of the river of the city of Portland, and you are too, because you're listening to KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from 988 Oregon, a public service providing help from trained counselors for when stress, worry, and sadness strike. Help is available by calling or texting 988. More info at 988oregon.org.
Good morning. You are listening to More Talk Radio here on your community radio station, KBOO FM, broadcasting from Occupied Portland 90.7 and in Hood River 91.9 and in Corvallis 104.3. Via the World Wide Web, it is KBOO FM. Today is Monday, the 29th of September, 2025. If you are listening live, it is 8:01 a.m. I'm Cecil Prescott. Thank you for joining us today, and thank you all for spending some time with us at the beginning of this work week. Let me give you our phone numbers because I'm interested in hearing your thoughts and your reflections. Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. We just heard, if you were listening live, a letter written by Asada Shakur to the Pope on as he was preparing to visit Cuba. Several years ago, and I wanted to begin my program by remembering Asada Shakur and her life and the dedication she had to the liberation of oppressed people. She lived nobly and with intentions, and we are grateful, I am grateful for the legacy of her life and for what it means for all of us. I came across one quote that I think a caller might want to, a frequent caller here might find some agreement with. Asada Shakur once wrote, "I have never really understood exactly what a liberal is, since I have heard liberals express every conceivable opinion on every conceivable subject. As far as I can tell, you have the extreme right, which are fascist, racist, capitalist dogs like Ronald Reagan, who comes right out and let you know where they're coming from. And on the opposite end, you have the left, who are supposed to be committed to justice, equality, and human rights. And somewhere between those two points is the liberal. As far as I'm concerned, liberal is the most meaningless word in the dictionary. History has shown me that as long as some white middle-class people can live high on the hog, take vacation to Europe, send their children to private schools, and reap the benefits of their white skin privilege, then they are liberal. But when times gets hard and money gets tight, they pull off that liberal mask and you think you're talking to Adolf Hitler. They feel sorry for the so-called underprivileged just as long they can maintain their own privileges." Asada Shakur. Which reminds us that I began this program by saying that I am broadcasting from Occupy Portland, and those of you who are listening are probably well aware of the president's intent and dedication to bring federal troops to Portland. I need to remind the president, if he's listening, unlike other cities that has been threatened or had federal troops in them, Portland is not governed by a black mayor. But, somehow that doesn't keep Portland off of the so-called enemies list of the president. I think it's important for us in these times to reflect on what it means to live and to resist. So the president has invoked Title 10 as the reason behind federalizing National Guard here in Oregon. And Title 10 calls into federal service members and units of the National Guard of any state in such numbers as the president considers necessary to repel the invasion, suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws. In any event, quote, "The United States or any of the commonwealths or possessions is invaded or in danger of invasion by a foreign nation. There is a rebellion or danger of a rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States, or the president is unable with the regular forces to execute the laws of the United States." Thus reads Title 10. Apparently, that's what the president invoked. People have been posting in Portland videos throughout the weekend about, oh my gosh, look at Portland and how dangerous it is, tongue-in-cheek. That has not been the case. But this is where we are, and where do we go from here? Our numbers here are 503-231-8187. I'm Cecil. This is More Talk Radio. Let's go to our first caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Cecil. How are you this morning?
I'm well. I read that quote because I was thinking of you about Asada and her thoughts on liberals. Okay.
Well, it's funny. I mean, to be a liberal, you have to still be committed to capitalism, capitalism to imperialism, because I mean that's what naturally follows, and from capitalism itself, because it's the commodification of all life. Everything on Earth is basically turned into commodities. But anyway, I think what's really important to remember is that, if we're going to be fundamentally committed to justice, then we have to take a hard stance. And I think what makes the liberal position, especially in these times right now, is that they're trying to manufacture a tightrope to walk. Mm-hmm. Because, on the one side is like the correct side of history, which is always tough to stand on. You know, I mean, we've been taught to lionize MLK now because of his nonviolent stance, but in his times, he was seen as violent, you know, fundamentally yes. violent, because the capitalist state sees any sort of stand against its policies, whether it just be in word, let alone in deed, they see it as fundamentally violent. You know, so when someone, a lot of these MAGAs, like, oh, you know, words hurt your feelings. It's like, nah, words are taken seriously, yes. you know, by fascists. You know, because they, like Chris Hedges said, you know, the fascist aims to stomp out any kernel of kindness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because that's, kindness and compassion is the only thing that, you know, fundamentally inwardly keeps fascism at bay, because
yes.
ultimately it depends on you being able to dehumanize your neighbor.
Yes.
But I think on a larger scale, I mean, communists, the only people to really defeat communists, I mean, to beat fascists are communists. You know, we saw it on the Eastern Front, you know, when the Western powers were perfectly willing to let Hitler and Stalin duke it out, you know, because while they abhorred Hitler, you know, they ultimately supported him, because fascists support the owning of private property. And I'm not talking about personal property, like your toothbrush, your car, or your guitar. I'm talking about private property, meaning the means of production, the means for people to feed themselves and enrich themselves. They fundamentally stand against that. So
sure. I think that's a very good analysis you offered in terms of contrasting those political perspectives and activities. Where do you see where we are now as a community, and thinking particularly in terms of Portland, and where do we go from here? Any thoughts?
Well, I see that fundamentally people on the ground whether they say it in word, they are, I see many people who are definitely anti-fascist, people who are definitely anti-capitalist, and people who are definitely anti-imperialist. And I see it from the perspective of people who would have voted Republican or voted Democrat. But the problem is that we're allowing the establishment to have the final say, you know. And so, I mean, I did a show earlier this past summer about Indivisible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people on the ground who are organizing Indivisible in 50-51, I think, have their feet in the right direction. But ultimately, the organization itself is a branch of the Democratic Party. And as we saw just about a month ago, independent, quote unquote, progressive commentators were taking money from the 1650 fund, which was done through Chorus. But essentially, the point is that a lot of these people who are saying no kings, it's easy to say no kings, but it's saying no capitalists.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to say no oligarchy, when it's easy to say no billionaires, but no capitalists.
So
because ultimately, go ahead.
No, I understand your point, and there's another caller behind you, but I want to ask you a question so we can, you know, get to that caller. That's a good analysis in terms of the contrasting. Do you think there's a possibility of creating a common or united front, and how might that to resist this fascism that will include people with Indivisible and anarchists and communists?
Well, I think it's gonna. I think it's ultimately gonna come from. I think it's ultimately gonna come from like Fred Hampton did it. Fred Hampton mm-hmm. was, you know, he was only 21 years old, but
correct.
He was able to explain to people who, you know, to basically say, look, man, you can lynch me, you can burn me, you can do whatever you want to me, but it will not improve your ability to make money one iota. Because the person you're really mad at is the person up, is the person who, you know, is the millionaires, is the billionaires, is
yes.
the politicians who fundamentally keep you down.
Right.
And when you know, so I personally believe that when you actually point at the system, and I'm talking about not just because, you know, Bernie Sanders and AOC, they continue to refer to oligarchs as simply Republicans with money. But it's not just Republicans with money. It's Democrats with money.
Sure.
It's anybody who supports the continuation of the capitalist system to the detriment of us all.
And I think
when you point at that system and you say that they are the people that that are the ones who are responsible, I believe that there is a lot of power in that, you know, because they all have names, they all have addresses, and they aren't any different than us other than they just have a bunch of money.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Santiago, and continue the struggle. You are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. That was our first caller, Santiago, giving some reflection on where we are as a community and where we stand. Are we liberals, or and how do we have our opportunity to point in the right direction? Before we go to our next caller, let me just conclude this part by quoting again Asada Shakur. She said, "It is our duty to fight for our freedom. It is our duty to win. We must love each other and support each other. We have nothing to lose but our chains." And next we will speak with Janet. Good morning.
Oh, it's so great to call in and they say, "Hey, Janet," on your show. When I have to be kind of subversive as a teacher in the public schools.
Oh.
And then when I call on another show, I don't know whatever happened to Joe, but then the person would say, "Well, what are you going to say?" And I say, "Well, why do you care?" Then they would say, "Well, we have to know exactly what you're going to say on the show, the Abe and what's his face." And so then he's going, "I almost thought about calling back in." We say, "Well, I don't really go along with that worker party. And so, I mean, this huge overweening corporate takeover, I think it weighs in not just at KBOO, but up the mountain here where we used to have a little community and I could walk to the river and then we can go in the little lodge. And now we have a community management that they get kind of mixed up about how much they're going to hire somebody, lawyer that can put a lien on your house and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have two representatives that go to Washington, D.C. One of them just lives there. They love Guantanamo Bay. It's really lovely. And so
Jenna, I want you to help.
Only one last thing I wanted to say is about that it's the workers. It's the I got a union rep, retired, living with me now up the mountain. But those are the ones that are causing this flotilla to be guarded a little bit in other countries, Italy and Spain. That the unions are all we have. And I come from a union family. My grandpa was in the Yiddish Union. Back in the garment district, my dad was in the Teamsters. And so I think if we don't have that, somebody like that one gal up in Seattle that's really making it big, the unions are everything to stand up against the corporate takeover. Seriously.
Okay, Janet, maybe it's me, but it seems that I'm finding it difficult to follow you, your point. So can you sum it up? Yeah, thank you.
The union.
The unions, okay.
The unions are everything. The unions are standing up to what's going on in Italy and in Spain. And the Workers' Party is the only thing that's going to really rise up in our country.
Uh-huh.
That the Black Panthers are still alive. And that there could be a corporate takeover even up here, up the mountain in KBOO. And so I'm just saying I really appreciate the folks that let me call in and that you will air what we're thinking here and don't have to kind of just screen everybody.
All right. Let me ask you before I let you go in terms, you mentioned the importance of the unions. And mentioned unions in other countries. Do you have confidence in the union movement here in the United States at this point in time?
Well, I think that that one leftist gal up in Seattle that's up and going.
Mm-hmm.
She's making a mark around the country. I think we really have to be careful to make sure that the unions are representing the workers. So a workers' party is what I'm talking about.
Okay.
And so, it has to be more than a label. Union is blah, blah, blah. It's got to be more than a label. All of us have to be more than a label.
Great.
Just that, whatever, but people that we are. My spiritual path is like a true self, that we can be a real person relate to another person as a real person and not find some little box and jump in there with stuff that we heard on Fox or blah, 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 or yada, yada, yada with talking points and just be just a walking talking point.
Hey, great. Hey, I'm going to let you go so I can get to our next caller, but I appreciate your call. And I think the woman you're referring to is the former Seattle City Council member, Shama Sawant, I believe.
Yes, Shama. Way to go, Shama. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling, Janet. And you are listening to More Talk Radio on your community radio station. I'm Cecil, speaking from Occupied Portland, and next up is Isaac. Good morning, Isaac.
Hey, good morning, Cecil. How are you doing?
I'm well. What are your thoughts today?
So I was calling. It sounded like kind of you were going off of a couple things. One, what should we expect with what's going on in Portland right now?
Mm-hmm.
And two, what does it take to unify kind of the collective voice right now of people who are unsatisfied with the direction of America under Trump's leadership. So to be short and quick, because I know you got other people, I think that what I'll say is that mm-hmm. I personally have worked with people from 50-51 and No Kings. There might be members who are Democrats, but I can tell you that from the organized Democratic side of the spectrum, they are not in major support, or they weren't until more recently. I know someone who's a family friend who's a member of the Democratic Party who served as a representative in Oregon and was very much told by his local representatives that they weren't very happy that he was at a No Kings protest. So I was kind of surprised to hear that.
Yeah.
But I told them, you know what, they need to get over themselves mm-hmm. because they're a big part of the problem. And I regularly call the Democrats out because we are 100% where we're at because of actions on all three fronts. And until people start taking responsibility for what the Republicans have done to get us to where we're at, the independents, moderates, whatever you want to call the third party group members have done to get us to where we're at or lack thereof. And the same thing with the Democrats. We all play a piece and we all should hold a piece in where we're at in America. And that's a big piece of us stepping up and taking responsibility that I think is going to help us unify. I think what will unify us is when things get bad enough that we're willing to put aside our petty differences and unite for a greater cause.
Right. But when will things, I mean, do we wait till things get bad enough? You know, what occurs to me, you know, is that that comparison of like we're like crabs in a pot of water that's gradually getting warm and warmer, and by the time we realize it, we might be dead.
Yeah, we're already cooked.
Yeah.
You know, I worry about that too. What I would say is your First Amendment, if you don't use it, you're going to lose it.
All right.
Speak up, say something,
Get
out, get involved with the protests, even if you don't agree with 100% of what is happening. As a collective, we got to come together because things aren't going to get better if we don't come together. A lot of people are waking up and starting to set aside the small differences because they realize that. So I saw something the other day that I think you guys might like that I was going to read for you.
Okay. That would be great to hear what you found and read it to us in terms of how we can come together and, as you say, move beyond our small differences. Do you have that?
Yeah, so, okay. Well, it's more of a signs of, you know, things, kind of what to look out for and where we're at as a society. So they call it the intolerance escalator. Hmm. Starts with stereotyping, goes to prejudice, then becomes bigotry and racism, then it becomes discrimination and scapegoating. Then after that, it becomes hate crimes, and then from there, it becomes genocide.
Hmm.
I would say we're probably somewhere around the scapegoating level. There's only a couple stairs left. And I think a big piece of it is to stop letting the left and the right divide us. We need to start coming together. I know Santiago is very anti-capitalism, and I'm not the biggest fan of capitalism in a lot of its phases and methods, but we got to start. We got to come together for against a common enemy, which is the current administration. Whether or not you believe left, right, or indifferent, we're at a time where history is calling us to step up and make change.
Right.
And I think that time is today. If there's something that you've been waiting to do, it's today.
All
it's
right.
not gonna. The history will remember those who chose not to do anything.
Right.
Who stood on the sidelines.
Wow.
I wish there was more I could do. I keep doing what I can. But I would definitely invite people to continue to stay involved in these kind of things. Continue to exercise your amendment rights. Continue to fight for what you are owed. Yeah, I'm a U.S. veteran, and I fought for the rights of everyone to have all citizens to have the Bill of Rights and to have those human decencies afforded to them. What's happening right now is absolutely atrocious.
Right.
Being caused by a group of representatives who understand our Constitution very well, who are doing everything in their power to reduce the power of the common worker's voice, the common human's voice in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
That goes against everything our founding fathers stood for. And we just got to keep pushing and keep trying to stay united. Call your neighbor, reach out to your friends, especially if you live in the Portland area. People are going to need support right now. And we just got to keep being vocal and keep telling the Trump administration that they have no place. We already know that there is federal court precedent from the California case that we are in the right to tell Trump that they have no right to be here.
All right.
So
thank you. And thank you for your observation and you know, recognition that certainly you cannot do everything, but you can do what you can do, and we all can do what we each can do. So thank you for that call for a united front against fascism. Thank you, Isaac. And Isaac mentioned that also that he was a vet, and Councilman Mitch Green of Portland has a video up. He's a vet, and he is addressing veterans and those currently serving to remember their oath to the Constitution, and he directed them to a couple of organizations and their website for military personnel and veterans. They include aboutfaceveterans.org and oregonforall.us and protectoregon.com. You're listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station. I'm Cecil. I'm speaking from Occupy Portland, but let's hear who's next on the line. Tangent, good morning.
Hey there, brothers and sisters. I made some notes, so I'll run down the line. So it should follow the order, basically, that people have been speaking about. But
great.
So Huey Long had a phrase called every man a king.
Mm.
And nowadays, this is back in the 30s. Anyway, what he did was Oh, and he had his slogan was like, nail him up. He would, as a farmer, will take a rat and nail it up to a barn door as a warning to other rats. Yeah, that was, he meant the rich. Okay, but what he did is he instituted free health care and a whole bunch of stuff in the state of Louisiana. Mm-hmm. And then he was set up and shot. But anyway, that's the thing. But that was one idea. I'm not big on King, you know, that one, but if we could all and every woman a queen. All right, but I'm going to go down the list here. So I think our imperialism is leading to our isolationism. And I'm not talking about our self-imposed isolationism, as we've had from time to time, but in the world. We're going to be isolated from the world.
And by we you mean the United States, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
The world is going to, I'm sure already the leaders are like, what is this? We have to deal with this maniac.
Okay.
Now I want to go back. In 1946, the CIA in Marseille, there was a workers' strike, a dock strike, and the CIA hired communists to beat socialist heads. I'm just going to go down these things real quick, okay?
Continue.
Okay, this is like documented, but I don't want to like get into a discussion about that particularly. Simply that they will use anybody to get rid of socialists, okay? So they always want to make it, well, never mind. The person that mentioned the screener, Janet, yes, her name is Sonia, and yet I have had this trouble also. I don't often call that show because it's extremely narrow-minded, but she'll go, what do you want to talk about today? And I go, what I want to talk about? And she goes, well, what do you want to say? Oh, well, I wanted to back up Santiago on such a point or something. And so what do you want to say? I'm like, get off, okay? I just, every other show, and I've been doing this for 20 years, you just get right to the person. There's no screening. So that's what I'm putting out there. We've gone over this idea about either a struggle. I like to call it work, and if you've ever done piece work, is where you get paid by the piece instead of by the hour, and you can sometimes make more, especially if you're really good at it. Now, as far as someone mentioned losing our First Amendment, if that happens, the second will be number one.
I see, and make that move up to the top. Okay, Tadger.
And then, I didn't say a top, but okay, anyway. Now, I just want to quote Hoover. This is back in the Depression, as it was beginning, and he was winding down, you know. But he was talking about, somebody asked him about capitalism. He said it wasn't that, it was greed. Greed in capitalism. I would used to joke, look, I've been a socialist my life, but I'm a businessman, and I would buy a tree for 50 and sell it and plant it and sell it for 100 or something, okay? That's capitalism on a level. But, of course, I'm not a corporation. I never wanted to be a big company running, you know. So there's that, and I'll be real quick. I just want to put out to Jeff. He mentioned he doesn't have many friends, and I'm in the same place, but I still find people interesting. But I wanted to remind him there's a quote, and I can't remember who, but it's a French philosopher who said that most people are not much more than food composters.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay. So well, that enough?
Okay, that's enough for us to reflect upon. Thank you so much, Tangent, for your calling and for reminding us of those things and reminding us, giving us a little history lesson even about Huey Long. Appreciate it so much. And you are listening to More Talk Radio here in your community radio station, KBOO-FM. I am hoping that our phone numbers here are 503-231-8187. We've had several callers who reflected on where we are, talking about the status of our society and the very fragile state the fragile state of democracy, and I'm not sure whether, you know, we hold on to those words, but I'm not sure we know what they mean or how we live by them. What are some of your thoughts about where we are as a nation, particularly in terms of here in Oregon? We had callers mention of people organizing and people gathering. There was a gathering of people. I think it was organized by Indivisible 5050 yesterday in Portland, in Waterfront Park. Thousands of people gathered.
some people criticize because whether or not they're liberal or radical enough. And another caller reminded us that it's in this, in these times, we have to create a united front to bring together all those who want to resist this fascist regime over our communities. People gathered, and it may not be perfect. It may not, they may not say everything you want. But what is it that you can do? How are you able to protect and to save your community? Let's hear from you. And what are people's thoughts on how we are as a nation, and particularly how we are as a city? How are people resistant? And what should be the way in which we respond, especially here in Portland, to the troops that are here? It's somewhat encouraging for me to hear. The city officials and state official, the governor, secretary of state, the attorney general, our senators, all of our representatives but one, stand up and say that we do not want troops here in the city. We do not need them. And, you know, if you're going to help us, continue to help us fund schools and things such as at the, like that. I think it's interesting also to note that people are able to gather in different ways. So how are you, and where do you think we ought to respond? How should we respond? Should we just carry on as if all things are normal? Should we be very vocal and resisting? I saw a video from the Portland chief of police in which he reiterated, reemphasized that the Portland police continues to follow the laws and recognize that the state is a sanctuary state, and the city is a sanctuary state, is a sanctuary city, and that the Portland Police Bureau will not cooperate with ICE and in their raids or activities. That's part of, I think, sort of like creating a united front. It's interesting. I saw a video of so-called city leaders and speakers, and there were all the usual suspects and elected officials and even business leaders. And, you know, I have to admit it sounded a little bit sanitized and like very mainstream. But then I'm reminded that, as I suggested earlier, we need to create a united front in which all people can participate. And perhaps that might be a reason around the movement around groups such as Indivisible, whether or not they are a means in which mainstream politicians can try to control the narrative or not. Who knows? The point is that people need to speak out and to resist. So what are ways in which people continue to resist, in which people continue to stand up and oppose the fascism that is all about us? What are you doing? Isaac called earlier and observed that, you know, he can only do so much, but we all are able to do that which we are called to do and which we are empowered to do. So what is it that you are called to do? Let me read again a reflection on Title 10, This is why, this is what the president cited. But Title 10 calls on the president has the authority to call in the National Guard or in such number to necessary to repel the in quote invasion, to suppress the rebellion, or execute those laws that the United States or any of the Commonwealth or possession is invaded or is in danger of invasion by foreign nations. There is a rebellion or danger of a rebellion against the authority of the government of the United States, or the president is unable with the regular forces to execute the laws of the United States. Now, repeatedly for months and maybe for years now, the president has been citing about the lawlessness of Portland. And in their mind, those who are in so-called liberal cities are in rebellion against the laws of the means of the federal government. Well, maybe we are, but how are we resistant? And is it possible to create and to continue on with a united front? So are you comfortable building alliances with liberals, with union workers, with religious folks, with anarchists, with mainstream business people? Continue to give us a call and let us know. Thank you. You noticed that. And let us know. Our numbers are 503-231-8187. And how are you resisting, or are you resisting, and what is it that you are able to do? Again, I'm Cecil, and let's hear from our next caller who has some thoughts to share with us. Janet is calling again to remind us she has something else to add. Janet, good morning again. Yeah.
Kind of a busy morning, but just briefly, when I was back in the 80s, when I was teaching in Portland, I had a little room on Fremont, and across the street, the police chief had just taken over. I can't remember the guy's name, but he was having the police trained with the Mossad, and all this stuff you hear about Cop City and all that. Sometimes, this is another very kind of underhanded kind of thing where you think that our own local police are going to be right with us, and so something to be considered and be cautious about.
Right.
Thanks so much.
Well, don't hang up yet, because I think you raised a good point in terms of how do we manage that? How do we cooperate? Because we know the police is all the police, and they are instruments of the state. So how do can we build alliances with them or not? The Portland police chief made it very clear that they are not, you know, working with the immigration officials. But it sounds as if we should still be somewhat cautious. So are you comfortable working with police, Janet, resisting the federal government?
Actually, I'm not really.
Yeah.
I was. They've seen police up on steroids.
Right. Yeah.
And, somebody calls to get some help, and then somebody gets shot.
Yeah. Right.
And so I think that young black people are trained to be really cautious and maybe tell a little lie or two and be apprehensive. And
right.
There's a different thing between being paranoid and actual provocation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think discernment is a key. And for myself, turning 80 this year, I kind of take it down a notch and take a wider look, because I had this young husband, went to Brooklyn Law School in Eugene. He was kind of giving training people about what their rights are.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really know how. I'm really watching this flotilla. My original point was that the people really have risen up. So why there's Italy and Spain, they're kind of watching out for this flotilla that's trying to go into Gaza.
Right, I haven't mentioned that. Yeah.
From Haitian friends, and I'm terrified about. But I would think, as far as the person myself, I would like to have the guts to say, well, come on, you can stay at my place. Because if you listen to what Viktor Frankl had to say, that we don't want to start like becoming like the enemy and then the victim persecutor thing, where there's so much enmity going around, where we're really trained and groomed to be fearful and just randomly fearful with other people who don't have the same mindset as us. So I think it's really a complicated thing to be human, and to then for me to rise up and show my integrity as a great grandmother.
I understand.
And,
well, thank you.
Show my integrity as a human being, that I embrace other human beings, but watch out for these overlords. Stuff.
Hey, thank you so much for calling again and raising the point of the need for discernment. Thank you, Janet. Let's go to our next caller, Tuasi. Good morning, Tuasi.
Good morning. You know, we are obviously a sanctuary state, and Portland is a sanctuary city. However, there is direct collaboration between the state and federal law enforcement, and it just doesn't get talked about, but it still happens.
Yeah.
So when I say that, I mean specifically at the Titan Fusion Center in Salem, where all data gets piped, whether it's from a municipality, a county, the state, or federal data collection, all gets piped into the Fusion Center in Salem. And in that Fusion Center, the ATF, the FBI, the DHS, ICE, you know, PPB, Multnomah County Sheriffs, all of these guys have their own little seat, and they sit in the same room with each other. So even if they're not directly handing over dossiers, on, for instance, myself, the information, and interestingly, I saw TikTok from one of our city councilors asking for information about collaboration. Well, let me tell you, the Titan Fusion Center shares all of that information with the federal government. That's its primary role. That's why it exists. So all of the lip service that the media and the politicians are paying to non-cooperation is a farce. And I don't see anybody talking about the Titan Fusion Center or the role that fusion centers play in sharing information across agencies. But that's the only reason they exist. And they're probably doing it right now with this phone call.
Okay.
Because as you may have known from my previous calls, I'm a targeted individual.
Yeah.
Despite not having committed crimes or done any terms of service violations, they targeted me based on the content of my social media.
Indeed.
And in order to find me, according to court documents, they used license plate readers. And those license plate readers, for those who don't know, are at every on-ramp to the highway system. And they also are at stoplights. They look like these little white plastic squares. And what they are is fiber optic arrays that read license plates. They also can do facial identification and all kinds of other stuff.
All right.
Because these fiber optic arrays take in massive amounts of data. And all of that information is piped directly to the Titan Fusion Center. So even if Multnomah County or Portland Police Bureau doesn't directly hand it over, it all is given to the same place.
Hey, thank you so much for raising that very important point. You know, as you were speaking, I went and looked at their website, their official from the Department of Justice, and it is scary. So thank you for raising that up, Tuasi.
I just wanted to say one more thing, if I can.
Okay, we have a couple more callers, but go ahead.
Which is that Portland Police Bureau didn't investigate the murder of a leftist because it was done to a leftist. So Chris Knipe, a far-right murderer, was never brought to justice until public media focused attention on the fact that the police weren't even investigating the murder. So no, police are pro-fascist, specifically Portland police.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your calling, and continue to be safe, and stay true to your principles. Thank you, Tuasi. Let's go to our next caller. Ross has something to say. Good morning, Ross.
Yes, good morning. Good morning. I think we're looking forward to a time of great challenge of how to exercise the skills we've acquired over the years. And so, first of all, one of the skills we're going to have to hone up is our skills in nonviolent civil disobedience. Those who are going to practice nonviolent civil disobedience. If there are some of us that are not going to practice nonviolent civil disobedience, I wish them well, and I wish them caution, but I do believe they are on the wrong track. But that's for somebody else to say. Now, how do we do nonviolent civil disobedience? Well, I want to say that we need to find our way to find a groups to in order to discuss and train ourselves in civil disobedience if we can. And I would suggest we go to our, especially to our faith communities, but any community at all, or political groups, and that we have demonstrations, but at a demonstration, the important thing is to have an affinity group and prepare for the demonstration, organizing an affinity group, and that the main thing of the affinity group is solidarity together, but solidarity and understanding of your role in nonviolent civil disobedience and what you're going to do to enforce nonviolent civil disobedience. If because there are always people who violate civil disobedience and intermingle in a demonstration, and you have to have affinity groups who are prepared to respond to that.
Yes.
But, so that's one thing I want to say, and I don't know if you have any ideas, or I hear from other ideas about how to organize those. I recommend organize in the churches especially, and that leads me to another idea that has we are being challenged. The right wing has a very seems to have tried to be establishing claims to Christianity, and I have to say I am moved by the. Plausible sincerity of the Christian community that is that has finds an appeal in Trumpism, as misguided as it is. But
well, thank you. Okay, we're running out of time, Ross.
Okay.
Go ahead, and then I want to direct some people to
one is I want to encourage people to actually find some ways to make Christian demonstrations more visible, so that the Christianity that we see is more apparent.
Okay, let me let you go, and let me point people to some of the things that you suggested. You might want to, if you're interested in terms of sacred organizing, what's going on, want to direct you to togetherlabs.org. They are working in church basements and all over to build communities, an ecology of movements for collaboration. And organizing trainings around nonviolence and things such as that. This evening at 6 p.m. at Augustana Lutheran Church, there is a vigil for peace and justice, and the event it will will include a candlelight vigil. People will also hear about the principles of nonviolence resistance and the principles laid out by people such as Fannie Lou Hamer, John Lewis, and Martin Luther King. So that vigil for peace and justice this evening at Augustana Lutheran Church on 2710 Northeast 14th Avenue at 6 p.m. Let's go to our next caller. Paul, good morning.
Good morning, Cecil.
Hey, long time.
I want to say that Ross had a good point there. Nonviolence is the only way. Beware of the agent provocateurs. Right. Don't give Trump any excuses. And but what I got 2 points here. One is Janet was right when she's talking about unions. Mm. Unions are grassroots democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And a chain is only as strong as its weakest link. So if you belong to a union or there's a union in your workplace, join it and be active.
Right.
Don't sit back and complain.
Good point.
And since you're always asking for positive things that people can do. And so I have an announcement for that. And people might want to get their pencil or paper ready because okay. I'll give them a website at the end. In Delhi, there are 35 million people. And there are 33 libraries. Unlike here, the libraries are not publicly supported by the city or the state. The libraries are funded by private little NGOs. And like here, but even more so, they are a source of empowerment for disadvantaged people. They show people how to find resources, how to improve themselves, and how to learn. I mean, I learned a lot from the library. And this Saturday, October 4th, from 5 to 8 p.m., there will be an all-ages fundraiser for a library in Delhi. This is going to be at New Expressive Works. New Expressive Works, 810 Southeast Belmont. And I learned about this from this wonderful woman, Maloub, and probably butchered her name, but she works at one of these libraries. It's incredible the work they do. And you can get tickets. This is where people want their pencil and paper at. ANJALIANDTHEKID, thekid.com. And that's this Saturday, October 4th, 5 to 8 p.m., all ages fundraiser for a library in Delhi. And that's something that everybody can do. And, you know, if you can only give them $20 or $50, you know, that goes a long way over there. And thank you for your good work, Cecil.
Thank you so much for calling and sharing those thoughts. It's so important to build those relationships and to hear those thoughts. Let's go to our next caller. Oh, Santiago again. Good morning.
Good morning. I never call back usually, but I figured, you know, this time I might actually want to.
Okay.
Just real quick, you know, the reason why I talk about leftist movements is because we have to rid ourselves of the notions of mythology. You know, the one brother who called after me is a well-meaning brother, and I hear what he's saying. But the thing is, if we don't have the right understanding of what we're fighting, then we make ourselves susceptible to other monsters. You know, the people who vote for Trump do have no clear understanding of how the capitalist system works. So the fact that Trump can sit there and say that it's immigrants, that it's brown people, that it's black people, that it's the Democrats who are drinking the blood of children. I mean, to the point of where you're like in fantasy land. Without that correct understanding of what we're fighting, then we're susceptible to other lies. And I would say that also from the liberal side, the fact that we mythologize America as a democracy when, you know, because, you know, he was saying like, well, you know, no matter how you feel about it, it's like, you know, Assata Shakur, along with other Black Panthers, pointed out that America is fundamentally fascist. We might be dealing with an outwardly fascist regime at the moment, but America has been fascist since its inception. And the founding fathers, as however well-meaning you think they were, they built their empire on bones and blood. And so if we're, you know, we can only trust their words so far.
Okay, we're running out of time.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the point is that we have to have that correct understanding. Otherwise, we make ourselves susceptible to other lies. And that's why when you approach it from a materialist point of view rather than a mythological or an idealist point,
time's up.
It gives you a lot more to work with.
Thanks up. Thanks a lot, Santiago. A lot has been expressed and our time is short. So thank you all. Remain faithful, remain truth to who you are, and continue to resist. Asada Shakur, no movement can survive unless it is constantly growing and changing with the times. If it isn't growing, if it's stagnant and without the support of the people, no movement for liberation can exist, no matter how correct its analysis of the situation is. That's why political work and organizing are so important. The first thing the enemy tries to do is isolate revolutionaries from the masses of the people, making us horrible and hideous monsters so that people will hate us. There's a lot of work to do, and I want to remind all of us of the work we are called to do and remind you all that this evening there's an opportunity at 6 p.m. for a peaceful rally at Augustana Lutheran Church. This is Cecil Prescott for KBOO FM Radio. I'll speak with you next time.
Here goes nothing.
Tune in to KBOO for Drinking from Puddles, hosted by Brandon, every other Wednesday from 8 to 10 p.m.